Okay, we're recording yet again.
This is me leaving.
This is me leaving. Okay, so we'll do the support the show, and I think we should mention the new name for this one.
You're goddamn right.
Because we're going to come in hot next episode. All right.
Coming all over the place.
All over the
firing
place.
Loads.
All right, I'm going to come in. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the All Punked Up Podcast. I'm Tyler Winters. John Pierman is here, and just another fabulous show as usual that we're about to drop for you.
You know it, Ty.
Yeah. Wow. That is the most excitement you've ever come in with.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tone it down. Sorry.
Jeez.
Just I was going for a wacky radio.
I don't know. That was
hi.
Like, that excitement reminds me of like Jeffrey Epstein coming off his private plane on his island or something.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Was that?
That wasn't what I was going for.
Oh God. Sorry. Anyways, I could cut
it was
that.
A beautiful,
should I cut that?
Beautiful island, though.
Was it?
The views.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll leave that in. All right. So, guys, this is episode 200 and also the final episode where this podcast is going to go by the name The All Punked Up Podcast. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now, and John and I are ready to reveal that name. So, basically, before we get to that name, the reason for the change is, if you haven't been listening the last few weeks, I feel like we've outgrown the term punk in our name, and I don't want that to pigeonhole us. I don't want it to pigeonhole us just from pop punk, emo, alternative rock type stuff. We have interviews from time to time. We talk about the news, music industry news, that sort of thing. We're still going to do that. We're still going to talk about pop punk, emo, and alternative rock.
Like, you can't
still
stop us.
That's still going to be our bread and butter, so don't worry about that. But we may want to talk about other pieces of the music industry here and there. We might want to bring on a comedian to talk about how maybe music relates or, you know, helps them in their own life, or talk about music with comedians,
or just funny stuff.
Or just funny stuff. We might want to bring on a country artist. We might want to bring on an indie artist, you know, just whatever. We don't want to be like in a box.
Mm-mm.
So the new name,
I mean,
I feel
like box,
is,
but
you do, but that's for another podcast. We'll talk about
all
that
junked up.
All junked up. That was good. So this new name that we're about to reveal, we feel like it hits, I mean, it's got like music recognition already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually surprised it hasn't been taken yet for a...
Well, it's ours now.
...music podcast, but it is ours now. And John, the new name, and we're going to have a new logo too next week. So a new podcast art, I guess.
I haven't approved that, but that's fine.
So for episode 201, the new era of this podcast that is currently the All Punked Up Podcast is going to be going by the name of Unplugged with Tyler Winters and John Pierman.
Hey.
So Unplugged, it just makes sense. Definitely.
I don't know how everybody's going to hear us if we're unplugged.
Yeah, I know. We still have to work through that. We'll figure that part out. We're pretty smart guys.
Some sort of wireless.
I feel like we could talk about the music industry. We could talk about artists in general, whether that's music artists, comedians, any type of artist. We also want to talk about or talk to fans of the scene. We've been talking about that for a few months, about doing that. I've got a list of people that I just need to schedule. So it's all just going to make sense. So we want to talk about talk to fans from the scene, get to know you fans a little bit more, and find out what you do, what you like, that sort of thing. I think it could be pretty entertaining. So hang with us, guys. It's going to be pretty much the same show. It really, truly is. But we're just going by a different name, and hopefully that name will help us get discovered a little bit more. So here we are. So next week, we're going to be going
by
Unplugged.
My big dick boys idea didn't really take off, did it?
It was so close, dude. Yeah. I even had a logo and everything. Just
online poll?
Yep. What kind of poll?
You know it.
Okay. Anyways, John, I guess we could go ahead and get into the show. But first, guys, with the new name change coming up, you could still support the show the same way. For as little as $3 a month, you can help support us week after week. Well, I guess it would be month after month. Yeah, because $3
they can
a
pay
month.
Us weekly. Yeah.
If you wanted to, you could. I don't know if that's an option.
Fine by me.
But anyways, for as little as $3 a month, you can help continue to support this show. Help us keep the lights on because this stuff isn't cheap. There's a lot of thought and energy and time that goes into this, and any little bit helps. It truly does. And if you can't support us, you know, monetarily, that's absolutely fine. We totally get it. You can
send
also
us your
help.
Children.
You could send us your children because we need help editing this podcast, mm-hmm. Coming up with show ideas, that sort of thing. Coffee. I mean, they could be coffee runners for us.
Let us put your children to work.
Yes. So you could either do that, or you can really help by just sharing this podcast, sharing this episode, letting your friends know about this podcast, rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify with 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews go a long way, and it just lets other people know who are looking for a podcast like ours that this is the one to listen to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's it. So, John, this week we have some things we want to talk about. Green Day just released their brand new album, and Green Day is one of our favorite bands, I'd say, both of our favorite bands, and I know we have conflicting thoughts on this album because we were texting this weekend, so we will get to that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about, there's an end of an era when it comes to Best Buy, John. There was a few reunions announced last week. I want to do a follow-up on the Smashing Pumpkins. They were accepting applications for their new guitar player, so we'll do a little follow-up on that. Also, some news about Machine Gun Kelly and his new guitar, which is just strange, and I want your thoughts on that. And then probably some of the biggest news that came about this week, and I didn't really see too much about it, but there was a mention of it, Moose Blood. Moose Blood has returned to the scene after a hiatus following some inappropriate behavior allegations from, 2018. So it's been, 5 years, which I am just... I can't believe it's already been that long, but Moose Blood was such a strong band in 2018, maybe 2014 to 2018, very, very popular amongst in the scene. So they're definitely worth talking about. So it sounds like they're back, and we've got some news that other publications haven't talked about yet. So stay tuned for that. So John, let's go ahead and dig in here. So let's start with Green Day's new album. Saviors, it came out on January 19th. John, I was talking to Tommy, our friend from grade school and high school, also supporter of the show. Thank you, Tommy. We love you. We were talking back and forth. He had listened to it on Friday. By the time he texted me, he's like, I listened to it twice. I said, I'm listening to it for the first time. But I ended up listening to it at least three times. I thoroughly enjoyed the album. There were a couple songs maybe that I wasn't super fond of, but they're not bad by any means. But it's a very enjoyable, easy listenable record for me. And I do remember when we were talking about it because we were kind of excited to hear this album leading up to January 19th. And I said at the time that I feel like this is going to be one of my favorite, not my top favorite, but one of my favorite Green Day albums. And thank God I was right about that. It is one of my favorite Green Day albums. So I'll let you start, though, because I'm building this record up, and I know you didn't care for it too much.
Well,
maybe you listened to it again, but what's your overall thoughts?
I'm not going
to
tear it down as much as I thought I was. I think I need new headphones at work, because I listened to it on some over-the-ear headphones and enjoyed it a little bit more than I did listening to it with just pods in.
Okay.
Still, it doesn't... rank up there so highly with me in regards to the other albums, but it sounded good. The songs were pretty catchy.
Yeah.
There's just some weak points in the record to me, but there's definitely some songs I would return and listen to again.
Were there any songs in particular that were weak points, or was it just weak points in specific songs?
Gosh. Definitely Bobby Socks, I didn't really love.
Dude, me either. And... I think that's the next single, because I think they released a video for that.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that surprised me. I was like, because Em and I were listening to it. We were doing some driving, and we were listening to the album, and this song came on a few times, and it's just like, do you want to be my girlfriend? Do you want to be my boyfriend? it's a fine chorus, but it gets annoying pretty quickly, I feel like.
That, and it goes back and forth between boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's talking. I'd have to look at the lyrics, and I don't know.
Not that that bothers me. It was just odd.
Well, even I had it playing when I was dropping the kids off at the bus stop, and Addie, my 9-year-old daughter, she's like, didn't he just say, do you want to be my girlfriend? Why is he saying you want to be my boyfriend? I said, well, I think, and I hadn't listened to the lyrics fully yet or read them. I was like, maybe he's telling a story from both perspectives. Maybe. I do know that there's, and please, guys, don't like quote me on this, but I feel like I've heard things in the past that Billy Joe might be bisexual or whatever.
Oh, so sure.
It could be something like that. I just don't want to put that on him if that is not the case. But so it could be something like that. I just haven't looked at the lyrics. But I told her maybe he's telling a story from two different perspectives. But yeah, Bobby Sox didn't really, that's like the main one that doesn't do it for me. And I'm just surprised that they, I'm pretty sure they released a music video for it. I'm going to look right now, so.
Already?
So I think it came out with the album. That's my guess.
That was one of the weak points. And then the acoustic tracks didn't really do much for me either. But there's a couple strong points to me too. Coma City.
Yeah, Coma City was good. My favorites on the whole album, I loved the pre-release singles, like The American Dream is Killing Me. I liked Dilemma the most as the pre-release single. But my absolute favorites on the album are number 9 and 10, so Corvette Summer and Susie Chapstick. Susie Chapstick is probably my favorite because Billy Joe has this writing style, writing ability where he can, and it's kind of a slower song, but it feels like, I feel like he's done this on other songs, nothing I can think of in particular just yet, but he could take a song and it sounds old, yet modern at the same time. It's just, and Susie Chapstick is a real good example of that. If you guys go back and listen to that, it's just so good. And I think it has the strongest melody. It's a little slower, a little more laid back. That's my favorite. But yeah,
eight, nine, and ten
are really good back-to-back-to-back songs.
I just feel like lyrically it lacked a little bit for me in some parts. There's some shoehorning that I just can't. I love the shoehorn.
I know what you mean, especially for, I think, was it Father to a Son, I think, had some of that, and maybe Fancy Sauce, the outro track. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It sticks out like a sore thumb to me when it happens.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
Yeah, like you could have done better.
All you had to do is take a little bit more time. A
little bit more time, yeah. And that's kind of surprising, I feel like, for Green Day. Like, I feel like their lyrics are usually really good and really on point. Maybe you can't really figure out exactly what they're saying all the time, but you can figure it out better than like Fall Out Boy lyrics or something. But
oh yeah,
but you know what I mean. Yeah, but overall, man, to me, this album ranks high in the catalog. I don't think I'd put it before Dookie, American Idiot, or Nimrod. It might be up there with Minority though for me. Like it's good, and Minority really just has a lot of nostalgia. A nostalgia factor for me, but I'd put it up there with Minority or above Minority for sure. This is a top one.
Warning, you mean?
Warning, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yes. Minority was the lead single off of Warning.
Yeah, I would put it probably behind that, but I mean, as compared to Father of All,
it's much
far surpassing that, so that's all I wanted was something better than that, so.
Yeah, this...
Mission accomplished, boys.
Yeah, I feel like this is a great album.
Pile of dog shit.
So let me ask you this. Do you like Blink-182's record better or Green Day's?
Oh, probably Blink's.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Just because there's a couple songs on the Blink record that are... If there wasn't... what's the 80s sounding song on Blink? Blink Wave. If that wasn't on the Blink album, it would probably be Green Day, but that Blink Wave song just is enough to push it past.
Catapults it for you. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. For me, I think I like Green Day's better. And I think I realized this week, because if you ever asked me who my favorite bands of all time were, it'd be either Green Day or Blink. This week, I feel like I've decided that it's got to be Green Day. There's just so much more feeling in the songs. And that's not to take away from anything Blink's done. Like, they're up there. They're the ones that they're one of the ones that got me interested in music, like playing music and really into music and that sort of thing. So they definitely have a soft spot in my heart. But I think Green Day for me is like so good.
With both records, there's a little bit of phoning it in parts.
Yeah.
Like it's just not 100% like effort. Yeah.
You think? And do you think it's mainly the lyrics on both sides though?
Yeah.
I think so.
Just lazy lyrically, I think, yeah, is how it comes across to me.
Yeah. And I could see that from Blink just because of, you know, the past records with Skiba. Like, they took that approach of first thought, best thought. So I could see that carrying over into this new era of Blink. But I am surprised to see it with Green Day, you know, like... And I don't think the lyrics are bad by any means by Green Day. I just know what you mean. Like, there were points in the... in the album where I'm like, ugh, I don't like that lyric. It's cheesy.
I think what's happened is the bands are so big and they can do so much on their own. There's not that producer element where there's a producer there that's, you know, there from the label to say, maybe we can figure out a different line. You know what I mean? Somebody that's kind of another piece.
Sure.
Like another voice in the room.
Well, Rob Cavallo was on this record again for Green Day, and maybe... I feel like he produces like all the Green Day records.
He's done a lot.
Maybe he's, you know, gotten comfortable too. Like,
sure.
You know, Green Day is Green Day. They could do whatever the hell they want to do. Yeah. You know, they have that creative license to do that. And maybe he's just kind of sitting back. It's more of like a team effort where let's kind of get this done. You guys, you know, you're seasoned. You know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. And maybe they're just not... they're not like getting into the nitty gritty. And
I mean, as you get older, I mean, you have more responsibilities as parents and things like that. Maybe there's just not that amount of time in the studio to nitpick that way.
Sure. Sure. But overall, I love the album. I'm not going to hold that against it. If you were to give it a grade, A, B, or C, what would you?
Probably C.
Really?
C+. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That low.
Man, I'm going to give probably an A- on this one. I really enjoyed this record, and because it's just one of those ones that you just play, and it's good. Like, it's just easy listening all the way through, and I love that. That's where I'm at in my life, I feel like. And I feel like with Blink, you can't do that with their record. You can't just play it, especially when you have small kids around. But yeah, overall, I like the Green Day record, so good job, boys.
Well done.
All right, John. Let's get into a little bit of news. It seems to be an end of an era for Best Buy, John, because there's an article.
Yesterday.
Well, you probably might have noticed a few things. I know I've noticed
a few
things.
I didn't have to poop. Normally, when I go to Best Buy, I have to poop.
And you know why you didn't? Because there's no CDs or DVDs that you're going to look at. Like you're going there to look at, because I agree. Anytime I got there, I had to pee so bad. Like if I needed to buy, you know, Green Day's new album come out, I go there to try to find it. Immediately I have to pee, so I have to go in the back, pee, then I come out, and then I can do my browsing. But I do say it's an end of an era for Best Buy because there was an article this week that says from Consequence of Sound that says Best Buy seizes DVD and Blu-ray sales in 2024. To state the obvious, the way we watch movies and TV shows is much different today than it was decades ago. And that's true. So let's see. So Consequence writes, as first reported by the Digital Bits and later confirmed by Best Buy, the sales strategy is in response to the shifting tides in media consumption. It goes on to say, to state the obvious, the way we watch movies and TV shows is much different today than it was decades ago, Best Buy shared in a statement to the Associated Press. Making this change gives us more space and opportunity to bring customers new and innovative tech for them to explore, discover, and enjoy. USA Today reports that Best Buy continued their sale of DVDs through the 2023 holiday season, but will terminate DVD sales in early 2024. And it should be noted, too, that this is going to be, they're going to stop selling CDs, which I think they've already done. But they're going to stop selling CDs and DVDs even online. They're going to stop
nuts.
Selling them online. So not only are they removing them from the store, but they're removing them from online sales as well. So
when was the last time you bought a CD?
An actual CD? Dude, that's a good question. I wonder which one it was. I mean, it would have had to have been when we were like in high school.
That's
and
nuts.
I wonder which one it was. I remember... So for some reason, Hot Hot Heat comes to mind.
Okay.
And I feel like we were at Lincoln Land during that time. So I feel like I bought that.
The treadmill videos? Or that was OK Go?
That was OK Go.
Yeah, it's somebody else.
I feel like I bet the Hot Hot Heat album. I wonder what album that was. Because one of our friends had it.
Mm.
And I was like, whatever song it was good. And
yeah, for not factoring in used CDs, it's been a long time since I bought like a brand new CD.
I think it must have been Elevator because I remember it being white and red and black. And that was 2005. So that would have taken us into our college years. So I think that's the one. And by
Kings
that time.
Kings of Leon or something for me, maybe?
Really? Well, also, in that era of 2005, iPods were a thing. Mm. And I feel like I remember when I got to Illinois State University, I did have an iPod, and I remember listening to a lot of songs on the way to class and stuff like that. So it had to have been before 2006, I think. So Hot Hot Heat might have been my last record. That's crazy. What was your, and you think Kings of Leon or something was
probably
yours?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Something Sundown, whatever that one, the follow-up to their big one. I think I bought that CD.
Gotcha.
The last one.
But yeah, man.
It was pretty much all vinyl from then on.
It's just crazy to think, though, like how much things are changing. Like, we can't go to Best Buy anymore to get our CDs.
No, they still have vinyl, though.
Yeah, they'll still do vinyl, I'm guessing.
That's nuts.
Because vinyl's a hot item. I know, right? But then, like, so Best Buy is changing.
Who.
Best Buy's changing. The malls have changed. Like, you can't... The malls are, like, vacant across the nation now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that used to be the thing to do when
it's we like
were
the
kids.
Kiosks have taken over the stores.
Right. Exactly.
So instead of having, like, weird kiosks, now there's just weird stores.
Exactly. Because normal, you know, companies, you know, your PacSuns or whatever...
They're all dead.
They're not going to pay
only.
The rent. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I think Journeys is hanging on.
Journeys is hanging on. Journeys is still there. That Tilly's, I think that's another, is that it? It's like another skate shop type place. But
yeah, and then the pretzel place will live on forever.
Yeah, and Annie's Pretzels. Mm. Or Annie Ann's Pretzels.
I just want the smell. I don't want to eat it.
Oh, man, you got to get
those. I just
want
to walk by.
You got to get those cinnamon sugar ones, like little bites. Woo!
I do. So something good. About eating in the mall.
Yeah?
I just feel like I can never wash my hands enough.
Oh, that's true. Well, you just wipe them off on one of the shirts.
I remember eating the Chinese food at the the food court.
Yeah.
Just, like, what am I doing?
I don't even think there's anything left in our food court. Anyways, let's move on.
A Sbarro slice. Those were awful, too. It's like, couldn't you warm it up?
I know, right?
Can't you zap it in the microwave or something?
Just something. Try. All right, let's talk about reunions, John, because there are two bands that are worth mentioning when it comes to reunions this week. No Doubt came out and said that they will reunite for Coachella 2024, and that's the first time they'll be reunited, I guess, in 10 years. So it's been 10 years.
I would have thought even more than that.
I was just getting ready to say that. It seems like it's been a little bit longer, but...
No Doubt.
Yeah. But also reuniting is Sublime... and late frontman Brad Noel's son, Jacob. So I believe he was kind of in the band at one point, maybe, gotcha. Maybe not. But Sublime was going by Sublime with Rome for the longest time. Rome checked out, I think, in December. And now Jacob, the old lead singer's son, is going to take over.
Okay.
And it's interesting, too. He's 28 years old, this Jacob, and Brad... the late lead singer died when he was 28. So pretty interesting. I think they're going to be playing Coachella as well. Yeah. So if you guys are going to go to Coachella, man, it's big time for reunions. So
if he was 1 year younger, he would have just been in that group of 27, but he's 28.
Was it heroin that did him in the Sublime?
Oh,
guy?
I'd guess.
Probably. Sounds like
early 90s. That was a pretty popular choice. Mm-hmm.
It's sad,
but he could have been in that heralded group of, you know,
The 27 Club.
Yeah.
Also, so that was worth noting. So that's pretty cool. I wonder if No Doubt's going to be making any new music. I wonder if Sublime's going to be making any new music. I guess we'll find out.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they're seeing that Blink playbook.
I mean, it makes sense. The nostalgia factor is always at play. You know, people always want to feel that old thing. And, you know, no doubt they had their time in the 90s and they were a big band. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, Gwen Stefani still got it. So I hope they do release some new music, and I hope it's kind of the same as what it was before, maybe mixed in with a little pop of what Gwen just did on her own.
Fun.
Yeah. Just that fun punk ska
summer
pop sound. Yeah. So that'll be neat. All right, John, let's do a little follow-up to, was it 2 weeks ago for our first episode back of 2024?
Oh,
We talked about the Smashing Pumpkins had an opening had a public search. They wanted people to apply to be their new guitar player after their previous guitar player left, so you could play alongside Billy Corgan. And apparently, dude, they received over 10,000 applications. Looks like Kerrang writes, the Smashing Pumpkins have confirmed they've already received over 10,000 applications for their new additional guitarist. And this was as of January 17th, by the way. Kerrang goes on to write, earlier this month, the alternative rock legends, who are currently a trio comprised of vocalist, guitarist Billy Corgan, guitarist James Iha, is that right?
I think so.
And drummer Jimmy Chamberlain put a public call out for a new member and asked those interested to send over a resume and related material. Well, it's been less than 2 weeks since that post went live, and they've since been inundated, sharing today that they have received over 10,000 submissions for the position of an additional guitarist. Taking it all very seriously, a statement from the band adds that currently there are 8 people working full-time to review each and every one. That is crazy. That's a job I definitely would not want to have. I would not want to go through, if we're divvying that up, let's say there was 10, and we each had to go through 1,000 applications and videos to find more than, you know, top-level applicants, like... There is no way. I hope they're paid well, actually. But John,
are they like all on VHS tape, or are these being submitted?
What if there were?
I need to know.
You know, there's an asshole or two that did that. But yeah, man, that's a
like
lot.
Like purposefully grainy, like in a dingy basement. Yeah,
right. But I it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. I wonder what they're going to do. Like, are they going to have, like, this is going to be like a top 10. Like, I almost feel like there needs to be like a reality show when they find like the top 10, top 20 contestants. And there needs to be like a YouTube show or something. I think that'd be sweet. And Billy Corgan's the host. Maybe along with, who would else would be a good host? Ryan Seacrest. And we just, and maybe it's fan voting. Maybe we do something like that. I hope Billy's listening, because that sounds like something he'd probably be interested in doing. I just wonder how they're going to narrow this down. That just sounds like way so many people. And like, what if they miss, like, they overlook somebody too, you know, that might be the right fit? Like, that's just a lot of applications. There's a lot. There's just a lot. We'll see what happens there.
I can't imagine watching 1,000 of anything.
No, I know.
Well, I mean, I can think of some things I'd watch 1,000 of.
Well, that
fat noodling, washed up guitarists.
No. And that's the thing. That's the thing too. Is there a specific look you're going for too? Are you going straight for talent? Like, what are you doing here? Like, do you want somebody, like, again, not trying to shame or, you know, body shame or anything like that, but what are you looking for? What are you looking for?
I'm a known body shamer on this show.
But those people have to be on camera too, because they gotta, you know, you gotta know who you're hiring. So I don't know.
I guess
we'll see. We will see. I'm sure. I wonder how long it's going to take. Hopefully, we know something by like spring or early summer or something. I wonder.
It's going to take 5 years,
because it looks like they're going on tour in June. They're going to tour the UK with Weezer in June. Looks like just like a week though. So they'll probably want to have the new guitarist by then. So we'll see. And I wonder if
hopefully they have their passport.
I wonder if this is going to be a permanent
It's gotta be a factor.
Is it a permanent band member or is it just a touring guitarist, you know?
Yeah, is he gonna be, you know, throwing his two cents in?
Yeah. I mean, you probably don't want that unless they're like good. That it's probably gonna be a touring guitarist. That's my guess. And then if they like them enough, you know, hang out enough.
Sure.
Then maybe ease them into.
What if he just takes over the processes? Band?
Yeah, that'd be insane.
And just Billy's left out in the cold.
Billy would never let that happen. There's no way.
Billy.
Doesn't Billy Corgan own like a wrestling league? I feel like
he does have some sort of connection to wrestling. I don't know what it is, but
I don't know. I'll have to look that up sometime. If anybody knows, let me know so I don't have to look it up. All right, John, next bit of news. This was quite a few weeks ago, and I wanted to talk about it a while ago, but just never got to. So Machine Gun Kelly, this is from NME. Machine Gun Kelly has responded to reactions over his razor blade guitar. Did you see this guitar, John?
I didn't.
Oh, my God. You got to see this guitar. Let me send you this.
I could picture it.
I'm sending it to you now. No. Well, you probably can picture it because, I mean, it looks like what I'm saying it is. So just scroll down to his, there's like a Instagram embed post in there. Mm-hmm. So let me just read what NME writes here. Because this is just crazy. Machine Gun Kelly has responded to the wave of negative comments about his new signature guitar, saying he was left feeling disappointed at the way people perceive him. The new model was released earlier this week in collaboration with manufacturer Schecter and came as the follow-up to his hot pink mainstream sellout model, which arrived last year. And that mainstream sellout model was just like a normal-looking Schecter guitar, just hot pink.
Mm-hmm.
So now the NME goes on to write, named the Razor Blade, the design delivered exactly what the name suggested. The body is made from solid basswood and carved into the same shape as a blade, and a metallic scratch plate covers the entire top of it, giving the impression it is made of solid metal. Other features include it being a single pickup electric equipped with a single master volume control and toggle kill switch. Schecter's own USA Pasadena Plus humbucker is also featured at the bridge position. I'm sure that means nothing to most of you guys, but some solid solid equipment in there.
Got me hard.
Yeah. So yeah, the body of the guitar does look like a razor blade. So and here's where people got upset about. So following its launch, those on social media were quick to criticize the unconventional axe, with some arguing that the design was so ridiculous that they wanted to boycott the guitar company. It is a ridiculous looking guitar. It looks like something that should just be in like,
like Total Recall or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Or some like a video game prop or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on to say, others also liken the shape to that of the comedy guitar brand Chibson, including the brand itself, who posted a parody of the advert on its Instagram page, and it looks like a normal shaving razor, which that is kind of funny.
I mean, I think the razor blade guitar should be an acoustic guitar, and then you have like, you know, like a more electric looking razor that's going to be your electric guitar.
Yeah,
that's just me.
That's a great idea. I like that. We're going to make that. We're going to make that happen.
And it buzzes and shit?
Yeah. So it says, now MGK has responded to the backlash and revealed he has been bothered by the wave of negative comments. A lot of people were saying too, and I don't know if this article says it, but I do remember people having negative comments about it, the fact that it was a razor blade and how it could be triggering to people. Because we know, you know, the scene is known for having, you know, fans that might have some mental health issues, you know, whether that's depression, suicidal thoughts, that sort of thing.
Well, it certainly makes you think of self-harm.
It does, yes,
the
razor blade
imagery.
Exactly. So, and so people said that the axe was kind of triggering in that aspect. So he has responded to that, and he says, I'll never explain my art because true art is conversational and always up for interpretation. But I will say, most of you constantly interpret it wrong and then blame me for your version of what you think my art is. Ultimately, I'm sad at how people perceive me in general. Peace.
I would love to punch his teeth in.
So there you go. So, I mean,
Just punch them right the fuck in.
I can see, and I don't know. I see where people are coming from. The guitar itself is really ugly. It does look like a razor blade, so I mean they succeeded in that, but it's like, ew. It's why? Why would you want to play guitar like that? It just, it's weird. It's almost as weird as the V-shaped guitars that you see like metal heads play. That's just me though. Never been a fan of those. So there you go. Worth noting. I'm curious to know what you guys think. So reach out on socials.
I mean, are people offended when they call it an axe? People get murdered with axes.
Yeah, I do think too, like, I understand where some people, I can get where you're coming from with it being triggering, but the fact that it's a razor blade, like, I don't know. I think that's, it's still a stretch to say it's triggering, you know?
Yeah, it's just a guitar.
It is just a guitar.
I mean, it's strapped to a giant douche, but.
Nobody, yeah, that should.
Nobody cares about that.
That should cancel the triggering factor out right there. Mm-hmm. So. All right.
I mean, is it ever even really plugged in and used?
Probably not. Probably not.
It's just for display.
It's just for display and looks. Aesthetic, baby.
It's all hollow. Right.
Let's move on, John, to probably the biggest news this week. It's totally worth mentioning. Who's got the beat here? It's NME again. NME is running the show today. So
I'm just realizing today, NME. NME. Yeah.
What is it? What does NME stand for, I wonder?
No, it's like the word enemy.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably. Let's just... We broke the code, everybody. There it is.
I figured it out for air.
So, hey. Moose Blood, guys. They are...
Delicious.
They're back, it looks like. So, NME says, Moose Blood return after hiatus following inappropriate behavior allegations. The rock band announced a break in 2018, denying the allegations made against them. They have announced they will return this summer for a pair of shows at the Underworld in London on June 7th and 8th, celebrating 10 years of their debut album, I'll Keep You in Mind, from time to time. So, the first show was announced on January 15th via like Instagram or something. And that sold out in 4 days. So then they added a second show. That first one was on a Saturday. That second show was added. They added was going to be Friday, the day before. So they added that show on January 19th, and that sold out the same day. So the band doesn't appear to be on a label, but we'll get into that in a minute. So here's what NME writes. They say, Moose Blood have announced the return from a six-year hiatus following allegations of inappropriate behavior. The band announced that their hiatus in 2018, or I'm sorry, the band announced their hiatus in 2018 after being removed from a tour supporting Good Charlotte. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. They were probably going to like soar had they not gotten removed from that tour. It came after
eyes and ears.
Yep. It came after drummer Glenn Harvey left the band in March 2017 following allegations of inappropriate behavior. So that was 2017, okay? Frontman Eddie Brewerton was then accused in early 2018 of stealing nude photos from a woman's phone, allegations that he denies, okay? The band ended up saying, we have been condemned in the absence of fact off the back of serious false allegations in a situation concerning our former drummer, the band wrote at the time. We are genuine, decent human beings who work hard at something we love. We take slight comfort in knowing that the people who do actually know us know this to be true. Rumors have escalated beyond belief, and it makes us sick to our stomachs that we have been very wrongly labeled with these horrendous, incorrect terms. Upon the allegations being made, Moose Blood released a statement indicating that they are to take legal action over the stolen nude photos allegations. So this was the 2018 allegations. They say, we are aware of an allegation made against us concerning alleged theft of photographs and invasion of privacy. This allegation is entirely false, and we strongly refute it. Until now, we have revisited giving it any credence by commenting. However, the many repeats on social media have left us no option but to make our position clear. We are taking legal action. The process to resolve this issue is underway. We do not propose to comment further at this time or at this stage. We'd like to thank all our fans from the bottom of our hearts for your true loyalty and support. And it's my understanding that it was proven that they were telling the truth, you know, as with those nude photos and whatnot, so they were cleared. But you know, the damage was already done, right?
Slander.
So that was in 2018, guys, and we are 5 years later, and it seems like they're back. So we've got two shows in London, back-to-back, both sold out. The band doesn't appear to be on a label. I did check Hopeless's Records website, because Moose Blood was on Hopeless Records prior to these allegations, prior to the hiatus, and it looks like Hopeless Records has them listed under alumni. So they're not. Doesn't appear that they're on Hopeless Records. Doesn't appear that they're on any label that we're aware of. But I feel like we have to assume that they are officially back, considering the sold out shows, though, right, John?
Yeah, I think so. I think that might inspire some more activity.
And also, because they sold out, I feel like fans must be willing to look past those, you know, maybe wrongly accused allegations, but allegations nonetheless. So that should be a good sign that we might be getting new music or something like that. So now I do want to share, because there's no other publications posting about this. So we have a little bit of insider information when it comes to this Moose Blood reunion. Noah Cross, one of our All Punked Up contributors, we have an All Punked Up team chat going on Facebook, and we were talking about this, you know, and he said he was talking to the guitarist Mark. And this is what Noah says. He goes, yeah, I was talking to guitarist Mark. He said they don't have plans for more than the reunion shows. So at this time, it's just the reunion shows. And then so Noah said, well, you sold them both out within 10 minutes of them being live. So if that's not a sign the world wants you guys back, I don't know what is. And then Mark replied with, it sure seems that way. We'll have to see what the future holds. So The band is well aware that fans are responding to these live shows, wanting to see them. They're well aware of what that means. So I think they're going to have to test the climate. They're going to have to kind of dip their toe in
their
water.
Moose knuckle.
Test the temperature and see. I think if they were found to be those allegations were found false. If that's true, we have to accept them back, right? I mean, we'd have to. If the allegations are false, it's not fair to hold it against them. And man, Moose Blood was one of my favorites at that time, 2018, 20, maybe 2016 or something. I really liked what they were putting out. Total promise for that band. So it'd be cool to see them come back and release some new music. I wonder if they've been working on stuff for the last 6 years. You just never know.
Yeah, I don't know how open the lines of communication were. So
that, and I mean, you're not touring and stuff, so they had to probably take up full-time gigs and whatnot.
Side projects,
I don't know if any of them have
anybody
families.
Knows of.
Yeah, right. So it'll be interesting to see this one play out. I wonder if they'll end up on any festivals, summer festivals or anything like that. But, you know, if these are good people, you know, which I have no reason to think they're not, you know, allegations are allegations at first. And we don't know either side of the story. We truly don't. Only the people involved do. So, but I will say, if they are in the right and they did nothing wrong, then I hope the best for them, because they were making some really good music before. So we'll see. Did you like Moose Blood, John?
Oh, from what I've heard, I liked them okay. I could definitely tell they're a UK band.
Yeah.
I got
that
vibe.
Song I sent you this weekend, it definitely kind of, I knew you would like it because it had some Hot Mully vibes to it, I feel like. I don't know if you got that, but that's what I got.
No, it definitely had that kind of vibe to me. It was definitely my speed.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for the All Punked Up podcast and the All Punked Up podcast name. So we are going to be saying goodbye to that. My son is looking at me right now, giving me a thumbs up.
What's up, everybody?
Thank you, Noah.
He says, what's up, everybody? But yeah, so this is going to be the last episode of the All Punked Up podcast under the All Punked Up podcast name. Good, I can't even say it anymore. This is it. So when we come back next week, for episode 201, the new era of the podcast starts. We're going to go by Unplugged. You'll see different podcast art and all that good stuff. So hang with us. It's going to be the same show. We're just going to be able to light branch change out a little bit more. So again, guys, thanks for listening. It's the new year. We hope you guys have a great 2024. Mm-hmm. Keep hanging with us. We'll be back next week. We love you.
Don't Peace. Unplug from us.
Oh, definitely don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Stay around.
All right. We're out. Peace.
That was corny as shit.